You are listening to a sermon podcast brought to you by Northminster Presbyterian Church of Greater Atlanta.
Lesson, our second New Testament lesson, comes from the book of Acts. We continue on our journey in Acts. This one comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. Listen for the word. During the night, Paul had a vision, and there stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Tros and took a straight course to Samothrace. The following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This evening, the youth will participate in our annual senior dinner to celebrate the graduation of our seniors from high school and from youth group. And what we do is we have a progressive dinner every year where we travel from house to house, and we have appetizers and salad and dinner. And then we come back to church at the fellowship hall. We have dessert and some fellowship and a nifty little slideshow that I put together. And to go along with this event, we usually give the seniors handwritten letters. We've been asking for the last month or so for you to write handwritten letters, and we're asking their family and their friends and their church family. And we also give them a nice little senior gift or a memento. Now, in the past, we've given them keychains with a verse from Jeremiah or something similar to that, and usually you can find these graduate gifts at your local Christian store. So one afternoon, I decided that I would go over to the family Christian bookstore and search for a gift. And while I was perusing through the store, I overheard a gentleman who was at the checkout register talking about Presbyterians. Now, normally I wouldn't eavesdrop and listen in on a conversation, but I heard the words Presbyterians and believe. And so my ears were perked a little bit more. And I heard him express his viewpoint on many things in comparison to Presbyterians, which is perfectly fine and normal and healthy, and I would support. But then he went on this little rant about how he adamantly disagrees with the notion that women can be in ministry, can be deacons, can be elders, can be pastors. And as the husband of a woman in ministry, and one who works with women in ministry, I did not agree. And so his argument was mostly proof texting many of Paul's letters and claiming Presbyterians say you essentially just have to disregard some of Paul's writings. And after hearing this, I decided not to engage this conversation and proceeded to articulate my argument to myself in the car as I drove back here. Now, I told you this story to tell you that God must have a wicked sense of humor, because when I came back to my office and opened up the lectionary passage for this Sunday to begin my preparation for the sermon, I turned to this passage in Acts about one of the matriarchs in the church, Lydia. We know almost nothing about Lydia, but what we do know is fascinating. Who was this woman making her way independently in a world that was run by men And who was this Gentile who sought God of Judaism? The text only tells us that she was a seller of purple goods, and she was a worshiper of God. However, in those two phrases alone, Scripture shows us that work and worship both have their place in the life of this remarkable, busy woman. So she rises from the text and stands before us even today as a kind of narrative icon, a contemplative Mary and active Martha all in one, her heart set on God even as her work gets done. And she comes to this riverside, to a scheduled place of prayer, a secluded place of prayer. Perhaps she expects to meet the other women, Jewish worshipers or Gentile seekers, just for prayer. Perhaps she comes all the time, or perhaps this was the first time. What she did not know was that on that particular day outside the city gates, she would be met by Paul and his companions, missionaries looking for anyone who was seeking God in this hidden place of prayer. And it was there at that riverside that Lydia found the God who was finding her. So in this short narrative about Lydia, there are many lessons that we can learn, but let me highlight at least three. Lesson one, stay close to a community of faith. Stay close to a community of faith. Lydia can teach us, first of all, that by staying close to a community of faith, we can put ourselves in the trajectory of inspiration and wisdom. Luke describes Lydia as a seller of purple goods, of textiles and dyes that were a luxury at this time. And so her trade, along with her ownership of a household of adequate resources to provide hospitality to the missionaries, suggests that she is a woman of substantial means. Wealth and comfort can be hazardous to one's spiritual health. Jesus has warned us of that because they sometimes create a perception of self-sufficiency. I can do this on my own. I have the means to do so. But Lydia transcended such temptations. She is a worshiper of God and was still seeking God through that community of faith. Lesson two, be open to the creative movement of God's Spirit and then be ready to respond. Be open to the creative movement of God's Spirit and then ready to respond. The second thing Lydia teaches us is openness. Openness to the stirring winds of God's Spirit. The scholar Walter Brueggemann notes that Lydia listened eagerly to what was new to her, even though she was already a worshiper of God. She was not locked into her categories of faith or categories of truth, but she was humble. She was open and eager to listen to the new thing that God was doing. By her best example, she urges us to a place of openness. And though this story is often described as Paul's conversion of Lydia, the truth is that Paul is hardly recognized in this story. Paul is pretty much invisible. Instead, Luke says it was God who opened her heart. Here is the center of the story, the moment of intersection between human obedience and divine inspiration. Longing and grace meet there on the banks of the river, the longing heart of a faithful woman who is opened by the gracious impulse of a faith-giving God, and an action that, like the incarnation itself, is once fully human and fully divine. So like Lydia, we are astonished when, looking back, we can only say that our steps were guided and our hearts were opened. And this openness is both a gift, but it's also a personal decision. It is never the final virtue. It's a virtue that's on the way. Lydia is open, but she's also ready to respond. She is decisive because she is discerning, able to see through the events on the surface to the deeper workings of God's Spirit. The ready to respond part is no small part, though. Lydia teaches us that in the presence of the gospel, we need to be open and we need to be ready to make a decision. We remain open to the Spirit's leading, but our lives cannot be lived forever in an open-ended fashion. The options can stay open only for so long. We do have to make some commitments in life, and we do need to be ready for when God's claim is to set before us. Lydia is our teacher in how to be open but ready to respond. Lesson 3, the importance of embodying hospitality as a mark of the Spirit. The importance of embodying hospitality as a mark of the Spirit. There's one final thing Lydia can teach us, and it comes by way of her response to Paul. Luke records that when she and her household were baptized, she urged Paul and his companions, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And as Luke says, she prevailed. They could not say no. One of the fundamental signs of Christian life blossoming in an individual's life is this practice of hospitality. Not hospitality as we define it here in the South, but a welcome embrace of all those God has sent before us. It is one of the things that Jesus taught. Even a scholar named Barbara Brown Taylor explains, Jesus did not have a home he could welcome people into. He could not cook anyone a meal nor offer anyone a bed, which may be what gave him such a hospitable heart. While others opened their homes to him, lending him a table to preside at, his own hospitality was much more likely a place in a field or on a boat or on a road or on a mountain, wherever people felt like strangers happened to meet the person who made them feel like kin. It was a gift that Jesus had, the divine practice of encounter, so valuable to him that he did his best to teach his followers how to do it. I don't usually flaunt my extensive Greek knowledge, but in the New Testament, the Greek word for hospitality is philoxenia, which is a word that's formed from two root words. So the first word, philos, which is one of the many words for love in Greek, and then xenia, which is the word stranger. Christian hospitality is the love of a stranger. And it's not just Christianity. The Torah, in one verse, commands you that you should love your neighbor as yourself, but in fewer than 36 verses, it commands us to love the stranger. For Jews and Christians alike, it's our command, our privilege, to make rooms in our hearts and in our homes for the other. And even today, Lydia has much to teach us about staying close to the faith community, about being open to their Spirit and being ready to respond and embodying that hospitality that's rooted within us. Paul invites his listeners in Philippi to generosity based on God's bottomless mercy, and Lydia is thus recruited for the new commandment of love, of hospitality. We only know of her immediate hospitality, but we may extrapolate that to a new obedience of life. Having been stirred by the gracious generosity of God, Lydia then became generous with what she had, a gracious stewardship of the gift that she had been given. So when I think back to how I could respond to that gentleman in the Family Christian Bookstore, I would say, yeah, there are some parts of the Bible that you could probably interpret to mean that women should not have a leadership role in the church. But I would also remind him that there were women like Lydia. Women like Lydia that Luke and Paul tell us about to show the powerful role that women can have in the church. And just like Lydia was hospitable to Paul, we must also be hospitable to people who think and act differently than us. I read somewhere once that only people who are basically at home and at home in themselves can offer hospitality. This has to be a home for ourselves. We have to feel home here, and we have to feel home in our daily walk. Lydia found that home and that gracious peace in her own skin within the company of the community of faith. And that sense of home by God's good grace helped her to open her heart as well as her home. And it is perhaps her ultimate and most important lesson for us. Her good reminder that the final act of grace is to help us become more gracious, to become more open, to become more hospitable. And so I want to leave you with this. As you leave the sanctuary and go back to our weekly routines, ask yourself, how can I be open to the Spirit's urging and embody hospitality? How can I be open to the Spirit's urging and embody hospitality? Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Northminster Presbyterian Church, visit us online at northminster-atl.org.